from Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And after the Passion, Jesus appeared alive to the apostles, confirmed through many convincing proofs, over the course of 40 days, and spoke to them about the reign of God. And on one occasion, Jesus told them not to leave Jerusalem. "Wait, rather, for what God has promised, of which you have heard me speak," Jesus said. "John baptized with water, but within a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And while meeting together, they asked, "Has the time come, Rabbi? Are you going to restore sovereignty to Israel?" And Jesus replied, "It is not for you to know the times or dates that God has decided, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth." And having said that, Jesus was lifted up in a cloud before their eyes and taken from their sight. And they were still gazing up into the heavens when two messengers dressed in white robes stood beside them. "You Galileans," they said, "why are you standing here looking up at the skies?" This is one of the passages of scripture that I, when I was in seminary, I hated preaching on. I really disliked preaching on Easter Sunday and Transfiguration Sunday and on Ascension Sunday because I was in my, you know, demythologizing phase. All of this superstitious stuff I wanted to get out of the text, you know, and tell people what really happened. The older I get, the more things have changed with me in that respect. And now, actually, some of my favorite sentences in the Bible are found in those passages, the Transfiguration passage and the Resurrection passage and in this Ascension passage. Not because I think they literally happened as if this were history recorded. We know it's history remembered for a particular purpose. But because, allegorically speaking, they seem really true to me. And so when I read this passage this week, "You Galileans, why are you standing here looking up at the skies?" I thought, oh yeah, it's a transition time. Why are you fixated on what has happened and apparently not at all ready for what is to come? At times of loss or of transition or of change, isn't it so true that we find ourselves transfixed, perhaps neurotically so, on the loss of a past? There he goes. And unable to think about the future at all, the promised future. In the confusion of the present, we find ourselves lost. I walked from the bathroom this morning and Carrie was as wake-up music playing for Adam the graduation song. Dum, 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 dum. And as soon as I heard that, I was momentarily just filled with terror and pain and a sense of loss. Oh no, are you kidding? My oldest child is graduating today. And my heart sunk. It was as if the reality, just like a sledgehammer, just walloped me on the head. Bam! You are an adult now. Life is changing. In a very comfortable past, one that I had loved so much, felt like it was fleeting away from me. And the disciples were just in this place. As I read this passage today, I can't help but read the Ascension story today as a tale of transition and loss. The disciples had been on this crazy peace and love and justice crusade with Jesus for 3 years, and things seemed to be going real well, right? Crowds were gathering, and the message was making sense to people, and people were nodding their heads all over the countryside and were following Jesus into the city. And then came Jerusalem, and the powerful couldn't take it anymore. The message of equality or of divestment or the message of mercy and justice and of growing compassionate community that trumped the temple ritual and all the trappings of religiosity. And so he was silenced. In the past was shattered to pieces. Lives were left in ruin, a movement apparently left in ruin and in confusion. And then there was that liminal space, that limbo, 3 days. And then Jesus returned, and it was as if he was being seen and was powerfully experienced as present. Was this over or was it not? Have you ever been in that space? Is it done or is it not done? What's going on here? And then he vanishes again, the story of the ascension, saying only, wait, and you will find a new way with new power you could never even have imagined. And then he was gone. And they were sitting there staring up at the sky thinking, what? It isn't much of an answer. And aren't times of change and transition? And don't forget that those are always also times of loss. Aren't times of change and transition and loss like that? Times when life seems to make sense, then all of a sudden there's this tidal change and nothing seems the same. There's this limbo, this sort of middle space, a time of denial and confusion and bewilderment and grief about the change, the loss. A time when we don't recognize the past, but we also can't imagine the shape of the future. It's at times like this when we feel very, very vulnerable. And it's at times where we might spiral downwards into ourselves and into our grief. We risk shutting ourselves off not only to the past that we can't regain, but also to the future. There's a risk of shutting out the future by continuing to stare maniacally at ourselves or at that past that we lost or at our crisis, at our loss, at this inevitable change, and to see nothing in it but confusion. And we are incredibly vulnerable to dissipation in times like these too, the dissipation of our spirit, the dissipation of our passion, of our vision, or the dissipation of our very community, of the common life that we have so carefully built around us. And again, this is where the disciples were at the end of 3 long years of good, hard work together. One crisis, one huge crisis to be sure, but this one loss presented them with the risk of spiraling inwards and of spiraling apart, of turning inwards into their loss and never returning from that dark place, the risk of completely shutting out the future. And many of you know Tony Campolo. He's famous for quoting a pastor that he liked in his Philadelphia neighborhood who liked to preach a sermon called Friday's Here, But Sunday's Coming. He preached this on Good Friday, right? The day when Jesus is crucified and laid into the tomb. Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. Easter's coming. Resurrection time's coming. And in the same way today, we could remember the question of the angels. You Galileans, why are you standing here looking up at the sky? Ascension Day's here, but Pentecost is coming when the Spirit comes down and makes a new thing from this group of people called the church. The good news in this passage is the good news in our lives. Ascension Day is here, but a new Spirit and a new power and a new way is coming. And yes, it's hard. Transitions and changes are always losses, and those are risky times, but we must not forget, like those first disciples, that waiting hours are only that, hours in which we must wait. 40 days, you don't get through it quickly. We can't just hurry up and wait. There are waiting hours in our lives when we feel confused and vulnerable, maybe even angry, and maybe even dark at times, or hopeless. But the fact is that there is a future out there for us, and that future could be filled with hope. What did these disciples do? It's interesting to notice what they did during that 40 days. They stuck together in compassionate community, and they tried to just figure it out. They gathered together and shared what was going on with each other. Pentecost, the feast after 50 days, and they sat there wondering about the future, what it would be like without Jesus. For those 40 to 50 days, they knew they had a message and a vision to share, but they didn't know how they could do it. The present being what it was, how could they go on? What could they be now after what they knew and were so familiar with was gone? And they waited, sticking together in compassionate community, and they waited. And then 50 days later, as if a match was struck and the lights went on in the house, and somebody said, maybe maybe we could just wait on God to show us something new. And it was as if the Spirit of God came in. Sound of a rushing wind, it says later in this chapter. And yeah, Jesus is gone, they thought. We're not bringing him back. But what if we, what if you and I and all of us together, what if we became Jesus, the very body of Christ, as a living group that could never be killed or silenced? What if we could be the very resurrected Christ? And the church was born. And the future broke open, and it broke open in a big way. Something that couldn't have been imagined just a few days earlier, a transformation wrought in the holy waiting rooms of life, waiting rooms of change, of transformation, and of loss. We don't always like those waiting rooms because the past, even uncomfortable, even dysfunctional, even the not-so-life-giving past, can seem to us when we're in the waiting hours of life to be something like a utopia. But it was not. And time moves on for a reason. And in the risky waiting seasons of life, we need to stick together in compassionate connection to one another, and to wait in love with one another, and to resist the urge to sink back into that past or into the black hole of the self, and to welcome the unknown future, and to wait for answers that will come, and for futures that will be revealed. And who knows, those futures may be so rich and full that we never, ever, ever could have even imagined them. This is the first in a series of sermons that are going to go on through the summer called Nurturing Resilient Communities. And as I was thinking of this Ascension passage, I was thinking, isn't this a mark of a resilient community, of a resilient family, of a resilient friendship? That during those inevitable times of change and transformation and of the losses that go with that, those resilient communities, those resilient families, those resilient friendships find ways to make it through to a dynamic and positive future. They can negotiate that waiting room well. And so I ask myself, as I face my own transition today at about 2 o'clock, why do you, Dwight Davidson, stand there facing up at the stars with my little boy walking down that stage with a diploma and into his own life, a new life? And Maggie, listening to me from the nursery, and Zed and Carmen and Amelia and Adam, and to all of you facing a change or transition, whatever it is in your lives, you too, don't spend too much time staring at the sky in confusion. Know that there's a rich and a beautiful future coming, that new days are coming. And hold on to and grow your caring community, especially when your heart feels the loss of yesterday's certainties. And be careful not to clutch on too hard to what you've lost. Instead, look forward to what you are sure to gain. And hold on to your vision, and hold on to your dreams, and stay close to the still-speaking God, for we of faith are convinced of good news, that a future of promise, a promised land, and a new way of being will be revealed in time. And all the people of God said, amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for even these periods of change and of waiting, of not knowing and of letting go. May we grow strong. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.